move to our fifth case today, Stefanovic v. Mukasey. Mr. Hagan.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Your Honor, this is an immigration case, and it's basically, just to give you the underlying facts and situation, this concerns a rule of the that's fairly recent, passed by the Congress and put into effect by the Immigration Naturalization Service, which basically is to protect spouses who are the victims of abuse, either physical or psychological or mental. And the spouse that's the victim of the abuse is the recipient of a petition for a green card for permanent residence by the abuser, which, as you can see, puts the abuser in a position of authority, in a position of being able to treat the applicant spouse whatever way they can, because the applicant spouse is generally afraid to say anything or do anything because petitioner spouse can say, I will just withdraw my petition. Now, that's not what happened here exactly, but I'm just trying to give you the picture of why this rule. What the rule says is that in situations where there is abuse, the recipient spouse can, in fact, sever themselves and obtain what they call a cancellation of removal, and can actually pursue that I-130 through the marriage by themselves, so that they are not under the control, so to speak, of the petitioner.
In the normal course of things, is a petitioner in these cases the citizen spouse? Is the petitioner the alien spouse?
That's correct. I can use those terms if you would like to make it more clear.
That's fine. Trying to clarify it for myself.
That's exactly what it is. Now, in this case, Mr. Stefanovic is the alien spouse. And his wife, his claim then, is his request for cancellation under this statute, is that his wife, not physically but psychologically, and the term in the statute is extreme mental cruelty, perpetrated that on him, and that... as a result, he is under this should become under this jurisdiction of this statute. Now, the immigration judge, after hearing testimony from the alien spouse, our petitioner, is stated and decided that the actions of the U.S. citizen spouse were not severe enough to constitute extreme mental cruelty. What the wife had done was to, without any warning, without any preparation, the spouse, I should say, the petitioner is a truck driver, so he's sometimes out of town for a week or more at a time, came back into town. His wife would not only not let him in the house, didn't even pick him up at his truck stop where they usually pick him up, but she met him at the door and threw his belongings at him and said, get out of here, I'm going to divorce you.
But in this situation, we don't have any kind of physical abuse, like, say, for example, in that Hernandez case, the Ninth Circuit case, which, you know, discusses the purpose behind the rule and the application of that battered spouse special rule cancellation. I mean, what I have trouble with is how you can actually prove you meet that kind of standard, given what happened here.
Well, Your Honor, the issue is, I think, is a little different than that. First of all, it is pretty established in the statute and in the rule that the abuse can be entirely mental, psychological.
Right, it can, but he didn't have any. I mean, it just seems to amount to more like his hurt feelings. He didn't get any kind of medical treatment for psychiatric treatment or suffer any kind of breakdown or...
Well, Your Honor, the issue, actually, that's where the issue comes up. In this case was decided by the immigration judge, and then it went to the Board of Immigration Appeals. There had been the applicant had made no, had had no psychiatric treatment or anything like that, as you mentioned, and mental health treatment. The judge had not said that he had to. The judge had not required that and made the decision on his own, the judge, after looking at the facts. Now, it went in the testimony. Now, it went to the Board of Immigration Appeals, which denied, or which upheld the judge and denied the appeal, because it said that for the reason that the applicant did not have reports from psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, stating, exactly as you're saying, that there was, and proving that there was extreme mental cruelty. Our point is this, the basis of our argument is that was added, that was something that was sprung on the appellant, the petitioner, by the Board of Immigration Appeals, when it was not possible for him to go and get this psychiatric treatment. The judge had not required it, and it was like an ex post facto requirement, which we are saying had never been published as a requirement by the Board of Immigration Appeals, had never been required. I mean, it was never explained to him that he had to do this. And so what we're saying is that the issue here is an issue of law, of basic fairness, that somehow the Board of Immigration Appeals jumped on something which, a requirement which had never been presented to him. Now, if this case were to be remanded and he were to go back to the immigration court, he certainly probably would. I was not the attorney at the time, but probably would and could get that kind of evidence.
What you're saying is you don't know whether he actually had any treatment or not.
Well, Judge, he testified. The judge did ask him if he had had any treatment during his hearing, and his response was, I didn't have the money, I didn't have the wherewithal to get psychiatric treatment. But I think go ahead.
No, that's what I thought. He said he hadn't had such treatment.
No, and he had. But the point is, he hadn't known that the judge, that the Board of Immigration Appeals was going to require it. Had he had so been advised, I'm sure that he would have had it and would have it at this point if he were to get another chance to present his case to the immigration court. So he was, the judge asked it in simply a question, did you have any psychiatric treatment? The judge never said, well, you know, I think this is a case in which you really, I need some expert advice. And I mean, I can't just decide on my own. I would add, Your Honors, that this is a Serbian gentleman, and there are certain cultural situations in which we can't, even us lay people or us Americans, for example, cannot really make an adequate diagnosis of what the effect this had on this individual from this culture.
I think making too much of this question of whether there was any kind of treatment, I mean, I think if there had been any kind of physical abuse, it would make sense for the IJ to ask, you know, do you have any records to support it or to support your claim? I mean, I have difficulty saying that you're saying this is an added element or something, or added element or requirement of proof.
That's what we're saying, Judge. And I on our page 25 of our brief, I
know. I'm just saying I have trouble with that concept.
Okay. Well, there is a case, Your Honor, which was in front of this court, in which the BIA did something similar. They required psychiatric or medical evidence after the fact, and the agency, they hadn't warned the alien that evidence was required. And it wasn't in the published regulation. This case is Bruchai versus Ashcroft, 381 F. 2nd 602 of the Seventh Circuit, 2004. And it said to the contrary that this statute suggests that objective or expert evidence is not necessary. So when you read the statute.
You got about 1 minute left in rebuttal.
I will leave that for a rebuttal, and I think I've made my case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Lee.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Sana Lee representing the Attorney General. First off, I did want to note that Mr. Hagan referred to a provision in the Immigration and Nationality Act which provides that an abused spouse can self-petition for a green card, and that is actually a separate provision. And the petitioner in this case applied only for cancellation of removal for battered spouses, which, like I said, is a separate issue, a different provision than the one that he was.
Why was he in removal? I mean, why was he in removal status?
He was in removal proceedings because he was apprehended at the border, I think coming back possibly from, he was coming through Montana. He was stopped at a truck stop. And so the immigration authorities stopped him because he had overstayed his visa, which he was here on a six-month visa. And he was stopped in 2002, about 5 years after he had entered the country.
Does that, how is that separate from the alien marrying the citizen?
Right. I believe the petition, the provision that Mr. Hagen was speaking of is one that provides for the situation where a spouse applies for a green card for his alien spouse, husband or wife, and then withdraws that petition.
Or threatens to withdraw.
Or threatens to withdraw.
And then beats him up or otherwise treats him unfairly.
Right.
Did that happen here? Did she ever apply for it and then withdraw it?
I believe, yes, she did. But in this case, Mr. Stepanovich applied for special cancellation of removal on his own, and it did not require that his wife withdrew her petition or not.
He could have plowed ahead himself without any further help from anybody.
Right.
And they just turned him down.
Excuse me?
And they just turned him down.
Well, the immigration judge found that Mr. Stepanovich failed to establish that he was subjected to extreme cruelty. So, yes, the judge did.
With the green card, suppose it had been completed and the card issued. He's not subject to any pressure by her then at that point, right? Or could not be.
Right.
Let me ask you this, just relating to documents that are required. Does the BIA generally require psychiatric or medical documents when considering extreme cruelty petitions? I'm asking you that in a general fashion first.
Your Honor, I'm not aware of any precedent decision on this issue, but I think it's reasonable to expect an alien to provide evidence when he's applying for relief, because it's their burden of proof to establish eligibility for that relief. And actually, in this case, the threshold issue is whether this court has jurisdiction to review the board's decision at all. Because the Immigration and Nationality Act precludes judicial review of a denial of discretionary relief, including cancellation of removal.
Why don't you quit there? If that's the law, why are we plowing ahead?
Well, Your Honor, that's the government's main point in this case, and this court has found that it has no jurisdiction to review a denial of cancellation or removal where the petitioners failed to establish the extreme hardship requirement.
Well, we've never really addressed whether the extreme cruelty determination is discretionary or non-discretionary, correct? I mean, as a circuit. I mean, there are other circuits that have addressed it and said that it is discretionary, therefore no jurisdiction. Isn't it only the Ninth that says it is non-discretionary and therefore there would be jurisdiction?
That's correct, Your Honor. And the Fifth and the Tenth Circuits have both held that they lack jurisdiction to review the board's denial of special cancellation of removal for battered spouses. And those courts determined that the extreme cruelty determination is inherently discretionary because there's no hard and fast rule or algorithm to apply to determine whether an alien has been subjected to extreme cruelty by his spouse.
But we wouldn't even have to reach that question here, would we, if we found that he couldn't prove, or did that, if we found he did not prove he suffered an extreme cruelty. Right? We wouldn't have to make that determination for our circuit on the discretionary, non-discretionary. We could just say he didn't meet his burden, period, because he couldn't show that he suffered extreme cruelty. But what's your view of that?
Well, I believe that we would argue in the alternative if the court found that it lacks that it does have jurisdiction, then it could...
Judge Williams suggests we can avoid the discussion of whether we have jurisdiction altogether by saying no matter what happens, he didn't prove it. Didn't prove that he was guilty or that he was subjected to extreme and repeated cruelty.
But I believe that the court would have to determine that it has jurisdiction to reach that.
As you frame it, it's not this issue with regard to spouses. It's the issue that he was in removal status.
We have no jurisdiction. Why don't we have jurisdiction? Again, lay it on me one more time.
Your Honor, the government argues that this court lacks jurisdiction to review a denial of discretionary relief.
Right. So that we don't have to discuss whether they exercised that discretion intelligently or whether they violated the rules having to do with equal protection or all that sort of thing. It's totally a discretionary matter.
It is a discretionary matter.
Why proceed to discuss anything else when if you really want us to rely on that entirely, why do you confuse the issue?
Well, I just wanted to address.
But then you say if you do, this is what you should consider, but you don't have any jurisdiction to consider it. So why bother telling us what we can't consider because we don't have any discretion jurisdiction to do it?
I would like to just submit that if the court does find jurisdiction, that that the board's decision is supported by substantial evidence.
But if you just, there's one additional for a sort of factual question you've asked me. I would like to ask it again, and I asked it initially, but apparently I didn't understand it. Why was he taken into custody?
Well, Your Honor, I believe he was taken into immigration custody because he was the Border Patrol and immigration authorities determined that he was in the country
illegally. If the fact that he was married to a United States citizen and she had petitioned for whatever status that brings him, didn't make any difference, or that wasn't in the record, or what was the situation?
Well, he was not married to her at the time.
Had she made an application for his admission?
She did, and then she withdrew it because they eventually separated while he was in proceedings. But
at the time he was taken into custody, they weren't married.
Right. So
he was here illegally?
Yes, he was here illegally. He alleged that while he was in immigration detention, he spoke to his then-girlfriend who told him that she wanted to marry him. And so they got married basically right after he was released.
And she ultimately petitioned, then withdrew the petition, and then that's where we go here.
Right. In sum, Your Honors, the government argues that the court does lack jurisdiction to review this determination because it is inherently discretionary, and further that petitioner has failed to assert a constitutional claim or question of law which could provide this court with jurisdiction to review the board's decision. And we would submit that he has not raised either a constitutional claim or a question of law, and he's essentially quibbling with the board's determination as far as the weight of the evidence and what evidence he provided or failed to provide. And in the alternative that it's reasonable for the board to point to a failure to provide evidence of any mental distress that he faced, not even an affidavit from someone he knows stating that he was in under this mental, mental distress or psychiatric harm. And
thank you, Ms. Lee. Right.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Very quickly, Your Honors, I realize I'm under a tight time frame here, but I would just like to answer Judge Williams' question and I think the other question. It's sort of circular. If this court is going to make a decision, it has to have jurisdiction. It can't. And the jurisdiction question cannot be avoided by this court. Now, that jurisdiction question has been decided by three circuits. There was 5th, 10th, and 9th. And as we argue in our brief, we think the 9th, and I think Judge Williams referred to it, is we think the more determinative and the more persuasive. The 9th feels this is a question of law and that the court, the BIA, was wrong. Under their theory, the BIA would be wrong in raising that issue de novo in its decision. Also, I would point out that under our brief, page 21, is a Supreme Court decision. Though the agency's discretion is unfettered at the outset, if it announces and follows by rule or settled course of adjudication a general policy by which its exercise of discretion will be governed, an irrational departure from that policy, as opposed to an avowed alteration of it, could constitute action that must be overturned as arbitrary, capricious, and abusive discretion with the meaning of the Administrative Procedure Act. They were interpreting the Administrative Procedure Act to say, it has to say on its face, and it can't surprise people and say, oh, all of a sudden now we need this psychiatric and mental.
Thank you, Mr. Hagan. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.